Blog Talk Radio.
This is Monica Leal welcoming you to the LL Research radio program In the Now with Carla L. Ruckert and Jim McCarty. Today is Friday, February 15th, 2013. Carla L. Ruckert is an author, mystic, seeker, and primary channel for LL Research. Jim McCarty is Carla's husband, the scribe for the Ra Contact, and president of LL Research. Please visit the websites llresearch.org, home to over 1,500 channeling transcripts, 11 publications, the Law of One material, interviews, speeches, and more. And the community website, bringforth.org, that's bring, the number 4, th.org, featuring forums, blogs, chat rooms, and more. I'll be asking Carla and Jim questions that come from you. If you'd like to ask a question live on the air, please call 646-595-2294 and press the 1 key when prompted. Again, that number is 646-595-2294. Or you can join the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/LLResearch. When submitting questions, please remember this is a Law of One Q&A. Try to keep your questions as spiritually oriented as possible. Again, I'm Monica Leal, and I'm talking with Carla L. Ruckert and Jim McCarty of LL Research. Hi, Carla and Jim. How are you doing today?
Hey. Okie dokie. Good to be here.
Okay. I hear you had a... Oh, doing good. Just been pretty busy with business lately, like I was mentioning earlier.
Yeah.
But okay, good.
Buddy, buy a water machine. It does you good. Helps you too.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for that. I hear you had some guests over the weekend.
Oh, my.
Yes, we had about 17 folks here in the house, all gathered in our living room. Close quarters, but very, very high-energy group of people, a nice combination of old friends and new friends, and everybody with a lot of love for the Law of One and ideas for how to help L&L Research go forward in the years to come. And we've got, I guess, probably 15 or so different ideas about what to do, all the way from video games for kids to training new channels to community on the land and everything else that you could imagine.
Changing, getting the rights back and changing publishers so that we have better distribution.
Yeah, Dolores Cannon visited as a guest of one of the other, the fellow who actually sponsored the weekend workshop, and she, after working with Carla, said that she could help get our books in all the bookstores around the world. She has her own publishing company and would help us to get the rights back for the 5 books of the Law of One series.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Well, it really would, and it's the first real movement I've seen on that, and Larry said he'd be glad to help as far as finances goes, and that sometimes that's part of what it takes. It just felt, you know, it was a. Some of these people were board of directors types. I've been on our board for a long time. We had all our officers there. I am the humble secretary treasurer. Jim is the most exalted president. And we had our vice president here, who is the assistant grand poobah, who has supported our work since the very beginning. You know, since before even the Ra contact. He's been totally, you know, just, we had people like that, and then we had people that are doing a lot of volunteering now, people that are working on the forums, people that are
Facebook
putting us on Facebook. We had the gal that puts the quotes every day in the homepage of Bring Forth, so that any day you can click and get a little... Just a one click, you don't even have to join, and get a little piece of inspiration. And bless her heart, she always has underneath the quote, she has a click where you can go to the whole breeding from which it came, and do a little bit more thinking on a more, you know, wide range way. And she was there. But people from all, you know, we have so many people as part of L&L, obviously you, Monica, and, you know, that so many volunteers, without which, you know, we'd still be what we were for many, many years, which was very, very tiny, and not able to even contemplate doing some of the things that we're contemplating. So, you know, it was just such a blessing to have all these people that have all been inspired by the Law of One to the point where they've given part of their life, you know, to helping other people find out about the Law of One and maybe serve them. You know, how can we do that? How can we live the Law of One? How, you know, so that these questions were not just, you know, a bunch of staff that was the old fogies. There were, we were the oldest ones there by probably 10 years. But the youngest there was probably in his 20s.
Early 20s.
Early 20s. Several people in their early 20s. And lots of people in their 30s. Probably more people in their 30s than anything else. So, you know, you feel so blessed that over three generations now, it's meant enough to people that they have responded by saying, you know, dear Jim and Carla, what can we do to help? And, of course, I always respond, well, if you're willing to work, you know, I've got some ideas. We have lovely transcribers, you know, that get everything transcribed. I just can't think of everything all at once, but there are lots and lots of people that make L&L what it is today, including you. So, and you were busy. You couldn't do it. Anyway.
Hey, that's okay.
That's okay.
Well,
at any rate.
Not okay, but, you know, I would have loved to have been there. But that's,
yeah.
I mean.
We totally understood. Anyway, there was a lot of people were like that. They just couldn't make it. But the people that did were enough to fill up our living room and have a couple of the younger ones camping on the floor. So I think we were pretty well booked to the point where, you know, we couldn't have any more people there just for lack of space. It was great. It was great. It was wonderful to feel that energy and to bask in that love that everybody has for the one thing, the Confederation material that everybody has in common, and that one basic hope of offering it to other seekers. In a good way, the way that it had been offered to them, you know, whatever that was. So many people hear about it from other people, you know. David Wilcock sends a lot of people our way, Winfrey and his book on the reincarnation of Victor Casey talks a lot about the Law of One, sends a lot of people our way. I think that, you know, we're blessed with a lot of people that recommend the book. And people hear it on Coast to Coast or something, and they go, oh, I've got to check that out. And so then somebody else reads it. So we really
but,
have
but, you
a,
know, go ahead. Ahead.
No, please go ahead.
All three of us.
Well,
I was just going to say, it, you know, it really should be on all the bookshelves in the bookstores. I mean, gosh. I mean, was it because of problems with the publisher? Is that why
that's
it's
right.
not more?
They didn't. They didn't try to put any books out. They didn't put it in the first bookstore. They had no interest. I don't know why, in distributing it. And so for many years, the only way it was distributed was strictly from us. And then Amazon came along, and people are used to getting things on Amazon. And they undercut us tremendously because they have such power that they can get the book much cheaper than we can. And they can sell it for less than we can buy it. So
oh, wow.
We have to sell it for, you know, a lot more. And, of course, it helps us if it's bought from us. But we don't tell people to because, you know, it's there free if people want it. They know what kind of money they've got. If they can afford to buy it from us or if they want to buy it from Amazon, that's fine. But at any rate, it's wonderful to know that it means something to people. And a lot of times, the book has been very aggressive and almost jumped out at people, you know, in the most unusual ways. I really ought to collect those stories, you know, because, guys, I was walking through a fruit market in Belgium, you know, and there was a table of old used books, and I was sort of looking through them, and there was the Law of One, you know. Okay. Another guy says, well, I was walking through a bookstore, and this book fell on my head. Another gal says, well, well, I like this book. Can I buy it? And yeah, well, I've never seen this book before. I don't have it in my shop, so I can't sell it to you, but you can have it. You know? It gets to the people that are, you know, that are really absolutely ready for it, I think. But wouldn't it be nice if it could be there to twitch the interest of more people who might, you know, have a faint recall. You know, that looks interesting to me. I wonder why. Because that's the way it seems. People seem to feel as if it was almost familiar, as if they already knew it and they ran into it. And, oh, yeah, I know this. This is for me. So here's hoping. You know, everybody was very dedicated, and I hope that we are able to manifest some of the things that we talked about. And even if we didn't, there was a big resurgence of energy here that, given that I haven't been able to channel for almost 3 years because of the my back surgery, so I'm going in for the third one this next Friday week. I will have the third one. So it's been 3 back surgeries in less than 3 years. And, you know, that's pushing it. I guess just about 3 years. So the last 3 years have been a little bit quiet. I haven't been able to channel because if I really get in the zone, I'll go to sleep because of the pain medication. And I have a tendency to go to sleep, which I never do, you know, when I'm not on pain medication. You can't really tell that I'm on pain medication from the way I talk or from my thought processes. You can just tell from the fact that I can't focus as deeply as I would if I were either doing creative writing or if I were doing channeling. Thank God for mediums like this where the medium is very grateful to someone who simply says what's next on her mind. You know, I've got a very fertile mind. I can talk about the Law of One material and answer questions for a long, long time. So that's not a problem. So I just thank God that, you know, I have this method of contacting our seekers who I love with all my heart. And it's just such a blessing to be able to have a point of contact with them. So, you know, here we are. But hopefully this next operation, I have to be closed up anyway. I've been walking around with an open wound for almost 2 years. And, you know, 22 months. And so it's just ridiculous. 22 months today, in fact. And I, you know, people say, well, did you really need that operation? And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, I had to be closed up anyway. You know, I might as well get, you know, the 5 pieces of that, you know, completely broken up vertebra out of there. It's not doing me any good. Get the nerve straightened out. There's a neurosurgeon that will be working on me, and he's very, very good. And I look forward to feeling so much better. And the meeting with Dolores Cannon, you know, she said some people really don't need the regression. She says, you know, I've seen a lot of miracles with the regression. But she said, I think you can do the same thing with affirmations because you have such a strong mind. And she gave me some beautiful affirmations about my body being perfect and good and sound and in harmony and balance and so forth. And I've been repeating them, and feels really good. Feels very strong. And I'm looking forward to healing up well.
Well, we will definitely be holding in our prayers, Carla. Yeah. I know everybody that's listening will, for sure. And is it okay if I mention this on the forum so people can know?
Absolutely.
So they can
please do. I welcome the prayers and the absent healing. And I'm very open to that.
Okay. So, needless to say, no show next week, and then the week after we'll see how Carla's doing,
yeah.
Okay? So, as far as whether there'll be a show or not. Getting back to the book just for a minute, about getting it in bookstores, you know, when you go into any New Age bookstore and see the kinds of books that are on the shelves, and some of them are wonderful and many, not so much. So, I mean, of all things, The Law of One belongs on those bookshelves, I think. So
it really does. Yeah.
At the very least, it should be available. So I'm really, really, really happy to hear that's underway.
Yeah, well, I'll let you know if that progresses. I'm still in the process of reminding Larry and Dolores that they promised those things, seeing if I can get that on rails before I have to go in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. So it was sort of like a homecoming, but a business homecoming. Was that what it was?
It was a staff meeting because it was one of those things where Jim and I finally, you know, thought to ourselves, we've done everything we can think of. You know, this, as far as L&L being our baby, our child, our life, that's great. That's wonderful. That's a beautiful thing. But what is beyond that? What is beyond, say, Jim and Carla? You know, I'm 70, Jim's 65. You know, it's time to think ahead and be realistic about the fact that should L&L research persist after I die and Jim dies, is there a place for this material in fourth density? Fortunately, everybody agreed with me. Yes, it's more fourth density material than it is third density material. It definitely belongs here now, and you know, it's definitely useful to people, maybe more useful than it ever has been, and everybody was very positive about that. So the job for us then is just to see that it gets out, to see that that happens, and I think, you know, we're on the right track. A lot of places take advertising on the web and when you buy magazines, like there's a Sedona magazine and so forth, New Age type magazine, maybe we'll put ads in there. You know, there are all kinds of good ideas as to how to get more exposure without being a salesman or a proselytizer or a jerk. You know, we don't want to. When we used to advertise, we stopped because it became so expensive. But we used to advertise in Fate magazine, and what would it say, Mickey?
It said, "The Law of One for the Serious Seeker. Read and return our book at no cost, or if you decide to keep it, please send a donation."
Yeah.
That ad is why I bought the book.
Yeah.
I was one of the people that responded to that ad. Well, that's not the whole story. Did I ever tell you how I found that?
I don't think so.
You got to hear this. I had gotten a past life reading, and some woman was channeling some entity that was reading the Akashic Records, supposedly. And anyway, at the end of the reading, the entity told me that I needed to read two books. And the first book I found readily at the local bookstore, and I was underwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And it seemed a little hokey. But this was the title. The second book was The Law of One. Well, I couldn't find The Law of One. So, so much for that. And maybe like a year later, I found that ad. It wasn't Fate magazine. It was some other magazine because I never read Fate magazine. I don't remember what magazine.
Journal or the Yoga Journal?
Yeah, probably one of those because I read both of those. And I remember seeing the ad and I went, wow. And I didn't even realize.
Bingo.
Yeah, I said, wow, that. I was impressed. I mean, it said, you know, if you like it, send us a donation. If not, we'll just send the book back. And I'm like, wow.
Nobody
so I said, off course. When I got the book, I was like, that's that book that was recommended to me. So,
well, at this point, we can't do that. You know, it costs so double to send the book that to buy the book in the first place that we really can't do that. We were in a different situation where, you know, we had printed up 8.5 by 11 versions of the book. You remember those books, and they were not nearly expensive. And the mails were incredibly cheap back then compared to now. So surprise, surprise, we're not going to be able to just give it away. But
right. And on the internet, though.
But we give it away. Yeah, we give it away every day on the internet. But most
people still have my tattered
blue
books. Absolutely.
Yeah, they want the low tech, you know, in between two covers book to hold, you know, to mark, to, you know, to write in the margins, you know, underline, all that stuff. It's
mm-hmm.
important to people to have that kind of relationship with the book. It's a very intimate thing. So
yeah,
you got to have a book. You can't really develop that intimacy where you go back over something and you see what you've already written, and then you're kind of dialoguing with yourself over time. And you know, that's so precious. So.
It really is, because, I mean, my books are treasures to me. And, you know, even though I refer to them online all the time, I treasure those actual hard copies. And they're all highlighted and notated and everything. And,
Yeah. Well, we recently had to exchange our fourth book four because it had fallen apart to the point where we could not keep it together. So we're starting a new one. Unfortunately.
Wow.
Well,
you know,
just worn it out.
This brings up an interesting question. I know we haven't even done the opening riff yet, but since we've only got a couple of questions, we'll get to it. But since we only got a couple of questions tonight and haven't had any live callers yet, hint, I have a question regarding just finances in general. And this came up on the forum recently. Somebody was asking, you know, why do wanderers in general, have so many of us tend to struggle financially, and you know why is that? And I've been wondering about that too. It's like, why is so much energy being spent just surviving? You know, just thinking about how to make ends meet. And of course, there's a lot of talk about, you know, the banksters and the power elite and all that kind of stuff. But just on a level of what is this catalyst about? And why do we have to almost apologize for making money? Like you said, you don't want to be, you know, come on really strong that you want to make money off of these books. You just want to get the book out there to the people who are looking for it or looking for it even if they don't know they're looking for it.
Right.
And, you know, I go through that with my business. You know, it's something that is obviously
helping. You've
got
to pay your bills.
Yeah,
you
and
know,
I got to pay my bills, and I'm almost apologizing to people. Well, yeah, I do make money, but, hey, it's an honest business. It's helping people. Why not? But why do you think we struggle so much? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think in general we're having trouble with the vibrations of Earth. And where you make a lot of money is where you find service to self mixed in. For instance, if you go into an ad agency or some kind of big business like that, there are always politics. There are always politics. And a wanderer tends not to want to play the politics and certainly not to take advantage of people playing the politics, not to be a killer. And there are ways that people who have no particular conscience about it and know that they need to, you know, they just want to make more money and they want to get this, you know, they want to get that job, they want to get that partnership, they want to, you know, there's a drive there. And it's very politically oriented, and it's very oriented towards using people, manipulating people, and then when you don't need them anymore, betraying them. There's that. Even in something small, I'm thinking about our beloved Lynn, who struggles so much. And she works for a local grocery. Well, it's a chain throughout the South called Kroger's. And she is better than anybody else there. She knows the job. She can get things done in about half the time anybody else does. And this one manager was wanting her to choose her days. And she looked at doing that, and she realized if she chose the days that she wanted, she would be knocking maybe a couple people out of a job and at least knocking people back to the horrible, you know, place where she had been, where she was getting no good hours at all, that didn't work for her at all, and she was just tearing her hair out. And then when she was offered the opportunity to choose exactly what she wanted and she thought about the consequences of it, she backed off, and she didn't do it because she felt that her relationships were more important than her own comfort and her own... No, in other words, she was an honorable service to others woman, which meant in that particular job at that particular point that she was going to take a hit. And she chose to do that. And I kind of thought, well, you know, Lynn, somebody needs to go, you know. If it's not you, they're not serving people well if they only give them 1 day a week or 2 days a week. You can't make an honest living working 2 days a week. So maybe, you know, some of the people that work there need to work someplace else. And if you're making a success out of it and you can actually get a full schedule, maybe you should go for it. And she just rejected it because she felt that it was on her, you know, that she did not want to disrespect or betray the people that... And this was a chump change job. This is not going into management, mind you. This is still stocking and cleaning up and, you know, doing the things that you do in groceries. So I think that that's part of it, is just simple difference between people that are instinctively oriented towards service to others and towards gentleness and honor, you know, and they just find themselves rejecting the jobs that have those vibrations where you know that you're going to, it's a cutthroat business. And for everything that you get, somebody else is going to get the axe. I'm simplifying, I'm oversimplifying, but I think I do have a valid point. And that you know, is very simply that most people who are, even if they haven't awakened, they don't know they're a wanderer, they're just, you know, going from one day to the next, doing their best, and really asleep. There are impulses there that come through the veil, you know, and they give you the shirt off their back. They want to be nice. They want to be good. They want to have a good time. They remember better ways. And making a lot of money is not on the list, you know. So blessed are those who are able to sort of roll into a career that will be able to pay the bills. That's a blessing that cannot be overappreciated. Nick, what do you think?
Yeah, I think before we incarnated and made our plans for the incarnation, there was probably not a lot of emphasis put on money. Although I'm sure it was recognized that money would be a significant part of the incarnation. But I think what was really emphasized was the attempt to be of service to others. And like you said, people who really work at being of service to others frequently don't have a lot of money and frequently just have enough to get by. And that just seems to be the reality of it. I mean, we've got so many friends, we've known so many readers of the Law of One over the years who are in that situation. You know, and whenever we have our drives for funds in the fall, we send out a letter to folks who have donated. And a lot of people write back, well, here's what I can afford. I wish I could afford more. If I had it, I'd give it to you. You know, there's so many people are in that shape. So I think it has to do with positive polarity, not really looking so much for financial gain or any kind of power, but pretty much operating within the shadows, which is what the Confederation entities pretty much do. You know, they're not the ones that you see in the skies or have a lot of the close encounters with. They're operating behind the scenes, working with dreams and meditation and inspiration and trying to help people in those little ways that aren't big and obvious.
Or if you do see them in the skies, it's a thought form. It's not a physical UFO. It's different.
It's just part of what goes with positive polarity. And right here on this planet at this time, it's rather inconvenient.
I don't think it's absolutely necessary that one be without money. I think it's a tendency, just a tendency because of the vibrations, the energy that wanderers put out.
Excellent. Thank you for that, because I was just going to ask that very thing. So you just answered it. You know, I love that story that you shared about Lynn, and I remember her, I think she shared it on the forum, because I remember that story, and I thought that was so cool. That was really noble of her. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of something that happened to me like 25 years ago. I was working as a computer programmer, and my boss, and I was supervising one girl, my assistant, and my boss had, well, they had given me a raise, and then the next time it came up, my boss came up to me and said, well, we have a dilemma. We can only give one of you a raise, and we can't give both of you a raise. And without even thinking, I just blurted out, well, give her the raise, because he was going to give it to me. And he was explaining, he was basically asking me, well, how do we break it to her that she can't get a raise even though she's been doing a good job? And I just blurted out, well, give her the raise, because, I mean, you know, I felt like she needed it more than I did, because she was struggling and I made more money than she did. Mm-hmm. And then later, I mean, he was pretty stunned.
And you thought to yourself, what got into me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Here I'm going, like, yeah. What did I just do? Was that
yeah.
really
Wait a minute. Can I do that again?
I didn't even think. And then later, I think I told somebody about it, somebody that was, you know, spiritually oriented, and they were like, that was foolish, you know, that, and it was even suggested that it was a lack of wisdom, you know, in Law of One terminology. And I wonder, you know, was it?
Lack of greed is what it was.
I hope. Yeah. And then you have all these people that are really into prosperity and The Secret and all, you know, doing positive affirmations and all that. Mm-hmm. And what do you think about all that stuff?
Well, I think if you live a balanced life, it's good. I don't think that it's a substitute for good hard work. Or, you know, trying to make the best of your circumstances, getting out there, getting your resume out there, doing the normal things everybody does. You can't just say, well, I'm doing affirmations and they'll take care of me. Well, poo on that. You take care of you. You know, you're the one that decided that you're going to have an incarnation here. So get out there and, you know, get off your bum and work. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with making positive affirmations about prosperity. I remember a guy that was discussing it, and he said, when you make these affirmations, make them specific. He said, don't say, I'm going to make a lot of money. Say, I'm going to make $10,500 next month, you know, or you know, whatever your goal might be. And one of my friends at the time wanted a trailer. I don't know why she wanted a trailer. She had a beautiful house. But it just was in her mind that she was going to get this huge piece of property cheap, and then she was going to put a trailer on it, right, and put, you know, gravel up a driveway to the house, to the trailer from the road, and live in beautiful prosperity. Well, they ended up buying a place, not a trailer, in the middle of nowhere. And it lasted like maybe a year because they were city people and they just didn't know what to do out there. And they needed to come back to the city and live as urban people. Everything that they were used to was gone. You know, you can't go to the grocery if there's no grocery. You can't find a doctor if there's no doctor. I mean, she was a person that needed a doctor constantly. She was juvenile diabetic and did die at the age of 39. And, you know, here she was in her early 30s, already pretty sick, and she frequently needed to go to the emergency room. She needed help. And what do? Well, you drive all the way back into Louisville, and then you have to drive all the way back. You know, they found it to be so incredibly inconvenient that they just sold the land, sold the whole thing and came on back to Louisville, which was a very wise thing to do.
These prophecies, these positive affirmations do tend to work, but if they're the only thing that you do, I think they're really distractions, because you need to be focusing more on your spiritual journey and putting your positive energy and all of that focus in on that. And I think that sometimes the money-making affirmations are large distractions, and people get off on pretty greedy tangents and take pride in it. I'm not that much in favor of them.
Oh, yeah, what I was going to tell you about the trailer was, the guy said, well, tell me about the trailer. She said, I want a yellow trailer. He said, there you go. Now keep telling me about the trailer. You know, she was thinking about what it was going to be trimmed in, and you know, how it was going to be arranged in the inside and all this stuff. So, you know, if you want to make affirmations, the idea of that guy is to be very specific. Now, what another affirmation-making place that is much more balanced is the Christian Science Church. When there is a need for supply, you meditate and you go into the light insofar as you are able, and as in the light, you then know that you have everything that you need, and you thank the Creator that you have everything that you need. You don't ask for more than you need. You simply know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that which is needed will come to you. And then you get up from that meditation and you work, you know, as hard as you need to pay your bills. But this is a beautiful sect or religion, whatever you would call it, the Church of Christ Scientists, I think is the proper name, but people call it Christian Science. And instead of doctors, for instance, they use practitioners, and the practitioner meditates and holds that space of light, and in that space holds you and knows that you are perfect, that everything that is not in balance and harmony is a complete illusion, and affirms that all that is not in harmony is a complete illusion and is not necessary, and allows it to go away. And so many times there are healings from the practitioners. If you get into healings, you see that they have, you know, in general, an incredible history of beautiful healings. And we've had healings in our meditation group. I've had healings in my church intercessory prayer group, and so forth. I mean, no matter how you pray, if you are able to hold that light and able to know that all is one and all is well, and make that affirmation and really see it and know it and feel it, there is every chance that that is going to make the situation different for the better. The best thing that ever happened to me personally was I was working on a young child. I think he was about 6. He had brain tumors, and he was getting a lot of brain tumors, and they had taken 3 or 4 out, and here comes another one, and it's bigger than all the rest, and it's pressing on this and that, and it's, you know, oh, my God, what to do now? So I was holding him in the light, and so were the people in our intercessory prayer group. And so Jane believed in prayer, and she asked, she said, let's take one more picture before we do the operation, and they did. And in the first picture, there was nothing there but light. And in the next picture, it was a normal X-ray showing that there was no tumor. The guy's alive and well today, getting middle-aged. So
I love it.
Yeah.
Wonderful. That's awesome.
So, I mean, these things happen, and affirmations for plenty do help. But I think if you simply affirm that you have all that you need and you have everything you need, and, you know, you pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, and that's it. You know, you don't go, and please give us $5 to put away for tomorrow, and please could I have, you know, some dollars to spend at the mall, and I'd like to have some coffee tomorrow morning. I know it's not in the budget, but I love those lattes. You know, I mean, you start getting greedy, you know, and you're in trouble. I mean, the vibrations, as Jim said, just go to pot, you know, and all of a sudden you're vibrating service to self, and everything changes. The question that you're going to ask, I think, is going to talk more about this. Not the first question, but the second. Is going to talk about, yeah, about what is fourth density Earth. So maybe we ought to get on with stuff. I don't know. Do we?
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Okay. Do you want to, we have about 20 minutes left. Do you want me to read the riff or go straight to the questions?
I think you better read it.
Okay. This is from Kuo, April 18th, 2004. It is felt as the harvest of many experiences that while more information and a more transparent third density is a more comfortable experience, in the end it is a more confusing, a less effective, and a less viable third density experience in terms of serving as the ambiance within which seeking souls are able consciously to affect an acceleration of their learning and evolution. The third density experience of this particular planet is extremely vivid. The consensus reality illusion is extremely heavy, and it is correspondingly difficult to penetrate. This means that there is a great potential for experiencing intense emotions and desires. Is the production of these things, the feelings, the biases, the various elements of a person's makeup, that the environment of third density is designed to bring into greater and greater relief so that each seeking entity has complete free will to look at the experience of living in any way that is chosen.
Okay, the reason I wanted you to read that, Monica, is that it has so much to say about the conversation that we were having.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have to suffer? Well, because we want to accelerate the pace of our spiritual evolution. Simple as that. We are hungry for evolution. We are hungry to evolve. We're hungry to become. And this environment is the best that they could come up with all that they knew from all of the previous creations, all of the various ways that they had tried. This, you know, the making of the very thick veil and the production of complete free will means that, you know, we have very intense emotions. We have many emotions, both positive and negative. We work with these emotions. These emotions are you know, gems. They're treasures. If we can work with them rather than being overwhelmed by them. So what I want to encourage people to do is to use your free will, not to say, OMG, I can't deal with this. This is so hard. I'm suffering. It's awful. Somebody take me away. Use your free will to look at each emotion as the gem it is, to ponder deeply why you feel this and why you feel that. And look at your thoughts, because you've been dancing throughout the day in a way that has been determined by your emotions for the most part. And if you're skillful, you can become an ever more graceful and an ever more successful dancer in terms of the illusion, and thereby accelerate the pace of your spiritual evolution more and more. And that's why we are in this situation. The Creator is not a cruel person. The Creator is an entity. And in this case, I think there were many entities involved, because I think there's, I don't want to say a committee, but there's a council of those who develop the earth and how everything works when they start a creation. It's angelic in nature for the most part, the Elohim or whatever some people call it. And I think Ra calls it the council that guards this planet. And they're trying their best to give you the best possible environment for spiritual evolution, the best possible school, the best possible textbook. And, you know, you even have an open book test. You have tons of spiritually oriented information which will tell you how to work with your emotions and how to be skillful with them, how to encourage your good emotions, how to balance and harmonize your difficult emotions, the ones that are hard to bear, and, you know, become more and more like the Creator, whose consciousness is unconditional love. It's not a love that is the love of a fool. It's the love of one who can create and destroy worlds. But it is unconditional. And you are, we are all loved unconditionally, absolutely. We are valued. We carry our consciousness, and that consciousness is part of the Creator. So, you know, here we are all together, and instead of working together to balance ourselves, you know, so often we fight and divide ourselves. It's interesting to watch the Republican Party right now, because it looks like it's trying to split itself up completely and become even less functional than it is now, which is hard to figure, you know. That's the way of service to self. They can't agree on anything, right? So, you know, all they want to do is pull down the other side. They don't have a good idea to put in its place that'll work. So this already, you know, we've got a really, you know, crippled Republican Party, which I'm sad to see, because, I mean, Eisenhower was a Republican. I think Lincoln might have been a Republican.
Yeah, the beginnings of the Republican.
Yeah, anyway, I mean, there are some noble Republicans in the past, and I hate to see this, but there may not be a Republican Party at some point, because it's just not functioning. And, you know, I really am sorry to see this, in spite of the fact that I'm not a Republican. I think that, you know, it's good to have a loyal opposition, but the loyal opposition is almost tearing itself apart. So let's not tear each other apart. Let's really try to dance with more and more skill and joy. And, you know, find the joy. Find that stream of incredible light and love that flows from the Creator through all of us. I mean, when we can just touch into that, when we can move into that beautiful place where all is one and all is well, then when we come out of the house of prayer, we can carry that with us. And the vibrations that we experience in connection with each other can be more and more harmonious and more beautiful.
Okay. We have probably just enough time for one more question. Do you have a preference, Carla, on which one I should go to?
We can do both, because the first one is so limited. The first one had to do with the use of broth or nectar. So I looked it up to see what it was that Ross said. And he said, you would call this type of food nectar or ambrosia or a light broth of golden white hue. So Don said, well, in third density, the fueling of our bodily complex is not only simply fueling of the bodily complex that gives us opportunities to learn service. In fourth density, it not only fuels the complex but gives us opportunities to learn patience. In fifth density, it fuels the complex that does it teach. And Ross said, in fifth density, it is comfort for those of like mind gathered together to share this broth, thus becoming one in light and wisdom while joining hearts and hands in physical activity. Thus, in this density, it becomes a solace rather than a catalyst for learning. So in fifth density, there's really no need, they're saying there's really no need to eat. That would be nice, wouldn't it? The fifth density mind-body-spirit complex doesn't need that kind of food for its eating. It needs light. It runs on light. So pretty much that was it. They're talking about, well, maybe it would lead to conflict. Maybe you would talk about service to self a little bit instead of service to others. But they're not cooking the stuff up. They're thinking it into being, right? And then they're gathering around and they're enjoying the beauty of the creation of this golden white broth, which is made with the vibrations of thought rather than, you know, having to peel the potatoes and peel the onions and saute the onions and put a little garlic in and blah, blah, blah. No, you're creating by thought a delicious golden white broth that tastes a certain way. So, you know, it's all in appreciating you know, the beautiful thoughts of the cook and appreciating the company of each other. When those of like mind gather together, they become one in light and wisdom while joining hearts and hands in a physical activity. So you're holding hands around the table, and, you know, the broth just comes into it as sort of like an excuse. That's my opinion. I could be completely wrong, but...
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Anyway, I think that clears us to talk the rest of the time on Jim Hu's question and Taco's question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm ready if you are.
Okay. From Jim Hu, does anyone know that our Earth is or will be going through in fourth density? What our Earth is or will be going through in fourth density? Ra does not talk about the Earth much. She is an entity also. I heard or read somewhere that she is in the process of balancing her male and female energies to once again become a nurturing planet. And then a comment on the same topic from Taco. 4D people wondering why many in 3D didn't have the same internal shift that they had, maybe? I'm trying to understand this. Maybe it's just the shift caused a vibrational mismatch with 3D and 4D people, so people vibrating within 4D will end up in a new planet? Or maybe it's the same planet but just vibrating higher, so you see the same space but maybe more depth and things? Okay, maybe what about this? I think I get it. The shift is internal, since our reality is our own co-created dream, right? So the shift happened, and people are 4D, but they're still at the 3D sphere, but they're harvested because they're vibrating within the frequency of compassion. So it is like a new world due to their new view on things. A new physical Earth after 4D volumetric awareness wouldn't be seen until after death or when someone stops using their 3D body here. But light body speaking, it could be seen as 4D due to upgrades in genetics and perspectives and stuff. I think this might be it. Okay, you had one last sentence. And 4D...
More or less got it.
Okay.
And that is that when you're looking at as 4D, you're looking at a time-space Earth. It's the same Earth, but unlike first, second, and third densities, it's not, the energies of it do not penetrate deep down into the core of the Earth. The energies of 4D are maybe, I would almost say, hovering above the physical planet. And the fourth density entities are experiencing life on Earth, but it's a life where the vibrations do not have to partake in this incredible heat that has been stored in the planet and pressed down into the planet. When people talk about coming back to heal 3D Earth, they're not trying to heal it so that 4D can enjoy it. They're trying to heal it so that they can have a healed third density planet. In fourth density, the reason I felt that she had it was that she realized that it's all within us, that heaven is within us, that creation is within us. And on February 4th, 2001, Kuo said, in answer to a question like this, the thoughts that you think, the emotions that you feel, the spiritual experiences that pass through your energetic system are all kinds of thought, and they constitute your basic metaphysical identity. Every thought that you think, every thought that you pursue, every thought that you bring to fruition creates slight changes in the vibration that is your energy signature. To those of us, and others upon the spirit plane, looking at the metaphysical entities that you are, these vibratory nexi are very evident, and it is as clear to us as day who you are, how you are, and whose you are. So you see, in 4D, in fourth density, everybody is aware of everybody else's processes, the emotions, spiritual experiences that pass through your energetic system. They are all kinds of thought. And while we can only affect 3D in the metaphysical sense, in the unseen sense, we can affect force density directly because it is a metaphysically based planet. It's the same planet. But, you know, there's space-time and there's time-space. And everything that we've been given to suggest, and they don't talk about 4D very much. I don't know if 3D words are really capable of it. But it just suggests that there's a huge difference in experiencing 4D reality. Now, I've had a couple of times in my life where I think I've probably been in fourth density, or at least out of third density and into a higher density. I couldn't really say what density is it, but when I was a little girl, I had a magic forest that I went to, and all the colors were alive. And the entities, even though they were trees and, you know, flowers, I knew what they were feeling and what to the extent that they thought that they were thinking. Trees think a lot more than flowers. It was a color that was, it just astonished me, because when you dropped back into third density, it looked like black and white, I swear to heaven. And that happened, too, during my death experience, or they call it a near-death experience because you come back. When there I was, all of a sudden, in another environment, and all the colors were alive. It was like they were molten and glowing and moving and incredible colors. It's just so beautiful. And I could see if there was a noise, a sound of any kind, I could see the sparkles of it in the air. It was a much more sensitive environment, and things were affected so completely differently by thought than they are here that it was hard to express. You know, telepathy is very easy in a fourth density environment because you're not hampered by all this closed offness that we have with our physical energetic plane, you know, energy being in the body, and that closes us off. Without that, you know, we know and we can share, and it's a beautiful thing. I think that when you go to start thinking about what fourth density is like, just realize that when we are wonderful to each other and when we glow to each other, we are experiencing fourth density here.
So are you saying we can pop in and out of it based on our consciousness?
I wouldn't say pop, because I think it's harder to get to than that for us. But I'd say that in meditation, there is always that possibility that once you have been able to open the gateway to intelligent infinity, there are experiences that you can have that are extremely real, that are based on thought rather than physical objects. But those thoughts are physical to the physical plane of fourth density. It's very hard to talk about it, but I think I kind of get it. Kind of get it.
Okay, thank you for sharing that. We are just about out of time, and I'm going to share one quick comment that somebody posted on the chat room from Nega Nova. I freaking love you guys. Thank you, Nega Nova. We love
you,
too.
We freaking love you, right, right smack back. No kidding.
All right. Okay. Any last quick comments? We have like 1 minute. Jim, anything?
Rod did mention that there would not be any third density artifacts that would move into fourth density. So that suggests a type of cleansing, whether it's going to be a pole shift or a continuation of the various types of typhoons and volcanoes and earthquakes. I don't know. It wasn't said. But I do remember talking to Don about that, thinking, well, you know, if we get these books printed up, they're not going to make it into fourth density. It's going to have to be stored in some other fashion.
And here we have the computer now, and it's stored in light. That ought to work.
Boy, that sounds like that could open up a whole other conversation.
That's
a starter for next time.
Okay, thank you both so much. And Carla, we will definitely be praying for you with your surgery next week. That's next Friday. So blessings and love to you, and I hope everything goes smoothly. And so that means no show next week, everyone. We'll be back hopefully in 2 weeks. Check in with us. Check bringforth.org for news on whether we're having a show in 2 weeks. And that's bring4th.org. And you can also visit llresearch.org. You've been listening to LL Research's In the Now with Carla L. Record and Jim McCarty. And we are normally here every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern, but not next week. Hopefully we'll be back in 2 weeks, and we'll see you then. Y'all have a good week.